This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. My name is Chris Banks. If you're tuning in for the first time, what I do on Film Bookcast, I discuss the latest film and TV show news. I also review an in-theater film. You can find more about Film Bookcast on film-book.com by using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com with Film Bookcast in the subject line.
This week in TV news, the Critics' Choice Awards will be postponed at least 6 weeks. The award show is eyeing a return in either February or March, and the news came to us from Variety. It's about the uptick in cases, and the organization said that it will require both vaccines and boosters of attendees and staff when it's rescheduled. Voting will be pushed too, to be consistent with our tradition of having the final round of voting in the days just before our award ceremony. The organization also added that we expect to announce these dates shortly, but final voting for the upcoming awards will not take place before mid-February at the earliest. Some more TV news is SNL is losing one of its head writers midway through its 47th season. Anna Drazen said on Thursday that she will exit SNL in order to focus on her upcoming series for Freeform. The show is called Praise Petey. It's about New York City's It Girl, who has it all until her life comes crashing down around her. But a mysterious gift from her father lifts things up a bit. She's going to lean into modernizing the small-town cult. Anna's a creator, writer, and executive producer, and will EP on the show. It stars Annie Murphy, John Cho, and Kiersey Clemons. I wonder who will replace her on SNL as one of the writers. Some quick ratings updates from this week as CBS took the holiday shine Wednesday evening with a holiday-themed edition of The Price is Right at night. It earned the primetime's highest 18 to 49 demo rating and its highest viewers. But this week saw most networks opting for reruns and holiday programming. So CBS took the cake with The Price is Right at night, followed by Dr. Seuss's The Grinch and The Fact of Life and Different Strokes live in front of a studio audience. Wrapping up the week in TV news is some exciting news for Grey's Anatomy fans, as the record-breaking run may continue after all. There's talks underway for a potential 19th season of the ABC flagship, but we're cautioned that conversations are in the early stages. There is news that Ellen Pompeo has been approached about continuing on the show for another season. We'll keep up with news if Grey's Anatomy is officially picked up for a 19th season. One more bit of TV news, Atlanta fans will be excited as the third season of Atlanta will debut on FX March 24th with a two-episode premiere and will stream the next day on Hulu. Very exciting news for Atlanta fans. That's it for TV news. This week in movie news, Spidey has done it again for cinemas, logging yet another milestone as he swings past $800 million on a global box office. Sony and Marvel Pictures has a worldwide total of $813.9 million through Wednesday of this week, pushing it past No Time to Die and making it the number three movie of the year, the top Hollywood release of all of 2021, an unbelievable accomplishment for cinemas and studios alike. In some more movie news is some exciting casting news, as the upcoming film Batgirl has found its Batman. Michael Keaton looks to be set to play Batman in The Batgirl, which is a super exciting piece of news, and I can't wait to see what they do with Michael. Why not talk about some cinema news in movie news, right? AMC Entertainment will take over two ArcLight cinemas and Pacific Theaters in LA and Chicago. The giant cinema chain said it reached a lease agreement and plans to reopen theaters in the Los Angeles and Chicago markets, beginning with operations in the AMC Northridge Fashion Center 10, a Pacific Theater in Northridge, California, and the AMC Chicago 14, formerly an ArcLight location in the Lincoln Park neighborhood. They'll all be under new names as AMC, and they'll open in spring of 2022. Very exciting news for cinema goers. There's no better place for me than being inside a movie theater. And coming off a year of great scares with the pandemic, it's very cool and hopeful to see AMC taking over new theaters now. John Wick Chapter 4 will actually move its release date from 2022 to 2023 because it's trying to avoid competing with Top Gun Maverick. Top Gun Maverick will come out May 27th of next year, and John Wick Chapter 4 will now be pushed to March 24th, 2023. It was revealed in a teaser that dropped this week. I'm a little disappointed with the news, but it makes sense to not want to go head-to-head with Top Gun, who I'm sure is going to do a big number at the box office. And honestly, this is what the future of cinema is, I think. You can't, as a big studio, you can no longer release your movie on the same release date as another big tent movie. It just doesn't make sense for studios anymore. So I think that we're going to see this becoming more and more normal going forward. That's it for movie news for this week. This Week in Home Releases and in DVDs sees many of the year's biggest films. The Many Saints of Newark is available on DVD. Young Anthony Soprano is growing up in one of the most tumultuous eras in Newark's history, becoming a man just as rival gangsters begin to rise up and challenge the all-powerful DeMeo crime family's hold over the increasingly race-torn city. Caught up in the changing times is the uncle he idolizes, Dickie Moltisanti, who struggles to manage both his personal and professional responsibilities, and whose influence over his nephew will help make the impressionable teenager into an all-powerful mob boss we'll later come to know as Tony Soprano. The Many Saints of Newark is now available on DVD. Also available on DVD is No Time to Die. Bond has left active service and is enjoying a tranquil life in Jamaica. His peace is short-lived, where his old friend Felix Leiter from the CIA turns up asking for help. The mission to rescue a kidnapped scientist turns out to be far more treacherous than expected, leading Bond onto the trail of a mysterious villain armed with dangerous new technology. No Time to Die is now available on DVD. Small Engine Repair is about Frankie, Swino, and Packy. They're lifelong friends who share a love of the Red Sox, rowdy bars, and Frankie's teenage daughter, Crystal. But when Frankie invites his pals to a whiskey-fueled evening and asks them to do a favor on behalf of the brash young woman they all adore, events spin wildly out of control. Based on Polino's award-winning play, Small Engine Repair is a pitch-black comedy drama with a wicked twist and a powerful exploration of brotherhood, class struggle, and toxic masculinity. Small Engine Repair is now available on DVD. Blue Bayou. Antonio LeBlanc, a Korean adoptee raised in a small town of the Louisiana Bayou, is married to the love of his life, Kathy, and a stepdad to their beloved daughter, Jessie. Struggling to make a better life for his family, he must confront the ghosts of his past when he discovers that he could be deported from the only country he has ever called home. Blue Bayou is now available on DVD. That's it for home releases from this week. This Week in TV Trailers is the Season 5 trailer of Search Party. Dory enters a very public business partnership with charismatic tech billionaire Tunnel on the other side of her near-death experience. Dory folds her old friends Portia, Elliot, and Drew into the venture as they embark on an altruistic but terrifying journey. Search Party returns to HBO Max for its fifth and final season on January 7th. Check out the trailer for Search Party. Another new teaser trailer that dropped this week is an interesting series coming from Fox. The show is called Monarch. We are the first family of country music. It's an epic multi-generational music drama about America's first family of country music. The Romans are passionate and fiercely talented, but while their name is synonymous with honesty, the very foundation of this family's success is a lie. When dangerous truths bubble to the surface, the Romans' reign as country royalty is put in jeopardy. Nicky Roman, the brilliant and fierce heir to the crown, already battling an industry and world stacked against her, will stop at nothing to protect her family's legacy. It's finally her turn, but is it too late? Check out the teaser trailer for Monarch. It'll debut on Fox. The last TV trailer we'll talk about this week is a series that I'm sure many people are excited for, including me. The Book of Boba Fett released its final trailer. It's debuting December 29th on Disney+. A thrilling Star Wars adventure teased in a surprise end credit sequence following the season 2 finale of The Mandalorian. It finds legendary bounty hunter Boba Fett and mercenary Fennec Shand navigating the galaxy's underworld when they return to the sands to stake their claim on the territory once ruled by Jabba the Hutt and his crime syndicate. Check out the trailer for The Book of Boba Fett. It will be on Disney+, December 29th. That's it for TV trailers.
This Week in Movie Trailers is a very exciting visionary trailer from Robert Eggers. It's called The Northman. It follows a young Viking prince on his quest to avenge his father's murder. It's an all-star cast, includes Alexander Skarsgård, Nicole Kidman, Anna Taylor-Joy, Ethan Hawke, Willem Dafoe. Check out the trailer for The Northman. It will debut April 22nd of next year. It looks super interesting. It's almost like The Lighthouse meets Game of Thrones. Check out the trailer for The Northman. Another trailer that dropped this week was Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I can't believe that Marvel can get away with making a movie that's basically just going along with a ride with a character that they created. But check out the trailer for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. It's about a thrilling ride through the multiverse with Doctor Strange, his trusted friend Wong, and Wanda Maximoff, aka Scarlet Witch. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness will come out in theaters May 6th of next year, and Benedict Cumberbatch looks as good as ever. I'm just not sure what the point of this movie is. I guess it's just a cash grab, but I hope that it helps continue the story. And check out the trailer for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. It'll debut in theaters May 6th. Another trailer that caught my eye came from Netflix. It's called The Royal Treatment. Rick Jacobson is directing the film. It stars Laura Moreno and Mena Moussad. It was filmed in New Zealand and it centers around a New York salon owner and hair guru, Isabella, and a prince of a fictional family, Thomas. She's a confident stylist who doesn't shy away from telling it how it is. Quite the opposite, Prince Thomas is stuck doing everything his family asks him to do, including following through with an arranged marriage, for which he harbors no romantic feeling for his bride. But things are flipped upside down when Isabella and her two best friends are given the chance to travel to Lavania to work for the royal wedding. You know what ensues. I think it's funny how they cast Aladdin as this, because when I was watching the trailer, it kind of speaks of Aladdin. It's just a real-life version of Aladdin. Check out the trailer for The Royal Treatment. It will debut on Netflix January 20th. That's it for movie trailers. All right, time for this week's movie review. For this week's movie review, we have to talk about The Matrix Resurrections. It's directed just by Lana Wachowski. To find out about his reality, is it physical or a mental construction? Mr. Anderson, aka Neo, will have to choose to follow the White Rabbit once more. If he's learned anything, it's that choice, while an illusion, is still the only way out, or into, the Matrix. Neo already knows what he has to do. But what he doesn't know yet is that the Matrix is stronger and more secure and far more dangerous than ever before. The fourth installment of the epic Matrix franchise is the only one to be directed just by one of the Wachowskis, so I was very I had a lot of trepidation going into the film about what it was going to be like, but wow, I was blown away by just how good and thorough and thoughtful this film was. The writing is, I think, the star of the film, but Keanu Reeves is extremely tender and touching in this installment. I think it's the most personal. I've never seen Keanu Reeves this kind of vulnerable, and it speaks to Neo's place in the story within the Matrix, but only Keanu and Carrie Ann Moss are returning from the previous three Matrixes, so fans of Morpheus, and who isn't, will be surprised because it's played by a new character. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II plays Morpheus, and Jonathan Groff plays Agent Smith. So there's a lot of curveballs in here, but it's all explained within the storyline of the film. And like most reviews, I'll try to not spoil the actual story so those who haven't watched the film can enjoy it. This film is set many decades after the events of the last one. Just the way that you see Neo in his current life, you know, he sees a therapist all the time because he's really still trying to understand his own reality. You know, everything that he went through in the three previous films is evident in his physical being. You know, Keanu is a lot older now, but it fits the story so well. And that's really what is so amazing about this film, is not only is it based in our new reality in 2021, with machines really overtaking our lives, but it's taken place down the road, and Neo wears his age. Carrie Ann doesn't at all. She looks
just as good as she looked in the first Matrix. It's really interesting the way that they did this film and how thoughtful the script was made, because it fits perfectly into our today. You know, the first, what made the Matrix so groundbreaking back in its original debut was obviously the bullet flying, you know, the backwards flying, you know, sci-fi nature of the film, coupled with the incredible score, which I think is an underrated component of the original, why the original franchise did so well. The score was both an original but futuristic kind of deal, but it was kind of before technology really overtook our lives. And so Resurrections comes at a time when technology really has overtaken our lives. People can really create, like Neo, their own reality by using technology and not really being a video game coder like Neo is in the game, but we as human beings can make really consequential decisions with this new power that we have in our hands and on our wrists and in our glasses and all in our cars and all kinds of other stuff pretty soon. You know, so the film right now has a much more relevant place in culture because it speaks to the pitfalls of technology. It speaks to the power of it and how that power, mixed with our humanity, mixed with our feelings, really can concoct an alternative reality in which we spend our lives. Today, we have the luxury to do that, which is what makes The Matrix so much more relevant to me, having watched it, than it had when I watched the originals way back in the day. You know, and I think that that's an underrated component of why they made this film, and maybe it's the motivation of why they made this film. Maybe Lana had to make this film because it was so relevant to life today, and the thought processes that we go with Neo through, and the time that it takes for Neo and Trinity to really reconnect. You know, it's really, really well done, and it's really touching, because this reboot, or this fourth sequel, you can call it, I'm not sure which one it is, but it's actually a renaissance for the Matrix franchise. It really rebuilds the entire world in a better way and gives us as an audience a much better ride, I think. You know, people may not like the new Morpheus, but in the context of the story, it makes sense. Yahya did a great job, and Jonathan Groff as Agent Smith is an amazing reimagining of a character so important to the original trilogy, that I think what they're doing with this is setting up for a new trilogy, because it's, again, the film just hits in a different way now, because it all makes sense. There are things that are explained in the passage of time within the story that during the original trilogy kind of was conceptualized as futuristic, or, you know, something that could be possible, but who knows if that could happen. Now we know the power of machines. We know the power of technology. And Neo's character brings us through, and specifically Neil Patrick Harris's character plays in a very specific way in our real world today. That, you know, in my opinion, Neil Patrick Harris represents everything bad with psychology and the power of science and stuff. And Neo's humanity, his thoughtfulness, his tenderness, represents the best of humanity and the best of human psychological processes. And when Neo and Trinity finally reconnect in this film, it's a beautiful, beautiful moment. And the storytelling is, I would give it an A. The cinematography is beautiful. It's shot unbelievable. The new characters, Priyanka Chopra, Jessica Henwick, Yahya Abdul-Martin II, all are incredible additions and really give the franchise a boost of taste and class and just relevance that it needs, you know. But Carrie Ann Moss did an absolutely incredible job. She looks stunning. She hasn't aged a day. Keanu Reeves has aged, but he's still an incredibly powerful, instinctual actor that brings a certain mysteriousness. And he's just Neo in this film is a perfect representative of what Neo would be down the road in the story. And everything was done perfectly. I would give it a 9 out of 10 easily, because it's a perfectly done movie. If you're a fan of the franchise, I think you'll really enjoy Resurrections. And I really hope that it sets the franchise up for the future, because I can see them making 1, 2, 3 more easily. Because there's a lot of places you can go with talking about, you know, the manipulation of life and algorithms and the power of technology and machines. There's a lot you can do with this, because it has real impacts on people's lives today. And people need to see the effects of certain choices with technology, which Neo and Neil Patrick Harris's character specifically really gives an audience an ability to see, is that when you use these incredible tools that a discipline like psychology or social science gives people who get an education in it, if you use it selfishly, if you use it for profit only, or if you use it for, you know, manipulation or control, then it's a dangerous slippery slope. And when you add in technology, it's an even more dangerous slippery slope. And that's why The Matrix has an even greater relevance today, and why the fourth installment, I think, hits perfectly. I would give The Matrix Resurrection a 9 out of 10 as an overall film. It's brilliant. Congratulations to Lana for making it. I wish both Wachowskis made it, because it's brilliant. And Lana should be very proud of herself. And Keanu and Carrie and everyone associated with this did a tremendous job, because you're taking on a legend in The Matrix. And they really reborn this thing in a great and powerful and relevant way, and I highly recommend seeing it. And I really hope you like it as much as I did. Thanks so much for checking us out this week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Film Bookcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Chris Banks or Film Bookcast. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at C Banksy. That's S-E-E Banksy. I'm also on Instagram at The Chris Banks. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on our YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comment section. It really helps other people discover our podcast. Please also consider becoming one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support really helps us create more engaging content. You'll find our Patreon link below in the description. If you want to tweet about this podcast, just use the hashtag FilmBookCast. Tune in next week for the next episode of the FilmBookCast. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you then.